and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and our first story today deals with that hacking that happened a few years ago with the celebrities. I kept seeing this so much. They kept mentioning Jennifer Lawrence, and I get, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is a big name, and she was also affected by this, but I'm like, okay, but there were multiple celebrities who had this happen to them. I feel, you know, sort of just insulted on their behalf that you're not even going to mention them. We just keep talking about, oh, the guy who stole Jennifer Lawrence's nude photos. I was like, yeah, and a bunch of other people's, but okay, fine, Jennifer Lawrence. Like, can't you just say, like, you know, however many numbers of celebrities' nude photos? Wouldn't that be an equally, I don't know, powerful headline to grab people's attention? Do you have to constantly point out Jennifer Lawrence? Like, other people don't matter, but whatever. So anyways, it has come out that I guess this must be the last person in that hacking scheme has been sentenced to prison. There were evidently four of them, and the others have all been sentenced from between 9 and 18 months in prison. And this last one, George Garifano, has been sentenced to 8 months in prison and 3 years supervised release. It's not clear from the parts I read, you know, why exactly. I mean, I'd have to go into the whole court case to figure out why there's such a difference in the different sentencings. I know that prosecutors wanted a longer sentence. They wanted between 10 and 16 months, I think, in prison. Garifano asked for a shorter sentence with 5 months in prison and then 5 months essentially under house arrest, I guess. I was shocked just that all of these sentences seemed actually kind of short, because this was a— or maybe it's just because it showed up in the news so much, and again, Jennifer Lawrence, but you couldn't help but hear about this to the point I would have thought they'd have much longer sentences. Like, you know, into the space of years, to the point where I would have expected Garifano, who seems to have the shorter sentence, the person who had the shorter sentence, I would have expected them to be like 16, 18 months. But instead, you know, 18 months is the max, and I'm just like, okay, I don't quite understand how prison sentences are made then, or something. But so this is very interesting for a number of reasons. A, Garifano began this scheme, phishing attack, whatever you want to call it, when he was in college, which is just like, wow. I mean, I can use my smartphone and my computer and everything, but I probably couldn't hack anybody. And for a college student to do this, just like, you hacked over 200 iCloud accounts, which, I mean, through phishing. So I guess that doesn't— it's not like, you know, actually hacking. I don't know anything about hacking, and the little I do know, but it seems like phishing accounts require, you know, someone to respond in order to get their info, as opposed to, I was going to say physically hacking, but you're doing it over computer with numbers. So through, you know, actively hacking in through firewalls and whatever to get that stuff. It's like, oh, if the person doesn't recognize this is not actually real and they respond, that just seems simpler to me somehow. But yeah, so he did access, I think I saw over 200 as a thing, and then I saw 240, but I'm not sure if 240 is the exact number, if it's also just, you know, estimate. Several celebrities included in this, and there were, of course, a number of nude photos for that, not just Jennifer Lawrence. But Jennifer Lawrence has actually, you know, stated a number of times that she's upset that this is not considered a sex crime. In which case, on the one hand, yeah, I get that because, you know, especially I think it was such a big news for her at the time because her career was just taking off so strongly. And certainly she was young and it was like, is this really, how is this going to affect her? Is this going to ruin her? But also these were nude photos that you then, you know, sent out to people who they weren't intended to go to. I kind of wonder why that's not just considered a sex crime in general, like with the, I'm going to call it revenge pornography, though I'm not sure that's the case. But if like you send, you know, your boyfriend or your girlfriend nude photos and then you break up and they put those nude photos out there, is that not like a heavy crime? Because that can definitely ruin some people's lives, even if, you know, it's known, oh, they didn't do it on purpose. Just like, oh, you took those photos, so you must, the moral grandstanding of some people just I won't even go into. But it is not at this moment, it seems, considered a sex crime. I think if, you know, there were children involved, then yes, most definitely it would be. But it's like, okay, but still, like, I mean, I get children are vulnerable just in general, but also against not with their permission. Okay, whatever. You took really personal things and spread them around maliciously, I'd say, without that person's permission. Whether or not this was a sex crime, shocked that it was not more time for all the people involved. It'll be interesting to see how much of all of this, of course, these people serve, because lots and lots of people go off to prison and then only serve such and such time and such time and then get, you know, released early for good behavior or because prisons are overloaded. And so it's like they're not as great a danger to society. So we'll just let them out. They've shown us no reason to feel that, you know, they'd be a major danger to society or anything. The argument that Garofano and his lawyers used to get him less time I thought was very interesting, because it was essentially, oh, he was a dumb kid and he's learned his lesson. But I'm like, okay, but this was only a few years ago and you were in college when you did it, so you're still, you know, pretty young. So this idea of, oh, I was a dumb kid then, but I'm not now, I'm like, yeah, but you're still, you know, by a lot of people's estimation, still a dumb kid. Is that really the best legal defense you can do? Is I'm less of a dumb kid than I was, or I don't know. Hopefully this now, I don't know that you can ever fully move past this because that was such a personal violation for so many people. Clearly, Jennifer Lawrence has still managed to have a strong career, even beyond this horrible violation. It'll be interesting to see also, technology-wise, how much you can protect against this, but also how much this becomes sort of the norm going forward. And I don't want to say the norm, but obviously, you know, this was the first really big hacking of Apple and iCloud. How easy is it now going forward that we're going to see a lot of huge hack? And we've seen this, you know, with companies like Sony being hacked and with Experian being hacked. Like, you can really hack these huge, big companies that you would expect should have much greater security. Is this now just sort of becoming the norm we hear about in the same way as, you know, 100 years ago, hearing about a car accident would have been like, oh, what? Just because we didn't have that many cars. But now that, you know, we've all got computers and smartphones and tablets and storing things on the cloud and everything's accessible wirelessly and all of that, is this just something we're going to be hearing about more and more nonstop? Slightly disturbing to think about, but hopefully, at least in any future cases coming forward, they, like this, will be found and brought to justice. A fair justice with a fitting sentencing time that I clearly don't understand. So, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I talked about this many, many episodes ago, but how a mother's plea for pockets for her daughter's pants went viral just because you had a lot of women essentially going, oh yeah, I also feel that way. And never mind my toddler's pants. What about my pants and why can't I get real pockets? But seeing these women come up with things that clearly the creators originally didn't seem to think about and or didn't care about and just sort of continued because rules of fashion or something. I find this next story interesting in that a plea for a pregnancy mode on workout apps went pretty viral. So this is from, I do apologize because I may not pronounce this correctly, Swapna Krishna, who is a tech and science writer for Engadget. And she complained about how, as she was pregnant, her workout app essentially kept telling her, you know, oh, you're gaining too much weight or you're getting overweight. All these other things. It's like, well, no, I'm pregnant. I'm supposed to be gaining weight. It would be unhealthy if I wasn't. This is not because my health has gone down or anything. To which a lot of women were also like, yes, I've also had this problem. Like, evidently, this also comes up with calorie tracking for when you're breastfeeding. I don't use a health app for calorie tracking, so I don't fully quite understand that. How do you track the calories out for breastfeeding then? I'm not sure. Also, sleep trackers that, you know, are upset when you don't get a lot of sleep when you've got a newborn. It's like, well, obviously I wouldn't. How could I possibly with a newborn that they're just not accounting for this? They're assuming everything in your life is the way it was when you set it up and said, you know, oh, my height is such, my weight is such, my goals are whatever. And the fact that the majority of workout apps, it seems from the responses on Twitter, don't seem to offer this is a little surprising because that would just seem sort of, on the one hand, and Krishna sort of called this out as like a, because technology is heavily male thing and, you know, men should not be the quote unquote default or the norm for these settings. And I can understand that, where certainly guys probably wouldn't think, oh, hey, we should put a pregnancy tracker in this, because why would they? But on the other hand, I myself have never been pregnant. So, and I'm not an app developer anyways, but I also, you know, certainly not at first wouldn't have thought of this. Eventually, as I was, you know, tweaking, I'll go with tweaking again, not a tech person. As I was tweaking, it would have been like, oh yeah, and women, oh, and menstrual cycles, oh, and pregnancy, oh, and maybe, you know, this will affect your body and all the things that we track with those bodies. Maybe we should put something in about that. Sure, eventually I probably would have got there, but not having ever been pregnant or had a kid myself, it wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, weight goes up with that would not have been my first thought at all. It would have had to come either from someone else telling me or from personal experience or just from after a thousand times of, you know, trying to figure it out. What can I add? What can I add? What else can I do with this? Thinking, oh wait, men versus women. Oh wait, the whole, you know, reproductive thing that affects a woman's body. Oh yeah, that. So I don't think it's necessarily that it's like, oh, hey guys, we set this up to only be for guys. And then we just, you know, allowed you to change your gender to woman. But for the rest of that, we set this up for, I don't know that it's necessary. I'm not going to say that, you know, there's obviously a gender divide in technology, and that's been pointed out a number of times. But I do think it was interesting how strong of a, not even feedback, how strong of a response Krishna got with this tweet. Like, and she had a number of them. She would tweet and then people would respond and she'd be like, yes, that. And also clearly felt very strongly, and as she should, because I can only imagine how frustrating that would be for it to be like, I'm trying to keep track of my health. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to, including, you know, whatever my doctor told me to do to make sure that my weight increases at a healthy rate as I become more and more pregnant, which is, it's the term, and I've heard a lot of people say it, but it's like, you're pregnant or you aren't. I mean, you progress in your pregnancy, but I don't know that you technically are more pregnant, but it just, it's, I've heard women also say it too, because they feel that way. It's like, the way you feel at 8 weeks is not the way you feel at 8 months about, you know, how pregnant you are at times. But yeah, just, I get the feeling, again, without having personally experienced it, I loved how big of a reaction she got. How many women joined in with, oh yeah, this has also happened to me, because that's how change happens, is, you know, if you hear a lot of voices crying out for the same thing, it's like, oh, that might be important. Maybe I should look about that, think about that and look into that. And you did actually see some people respond to that. I loved one guy who replied to her tweet of like, well, how would you like the app to run and what should it do? And then felt the need, and I get why he would, felt the need to put in parentheses, no, I'm seriously asking so I can implement it. I'm not trying to be a troll, because, and this is part of the problem of things over, you know, technology and over screens, is your tone doesn't necessarily come off perhaps the way you meant it. If he hadn't put that in, him being a guy asking, well, what would you like, can totally come off as like a troll of like, oh, you're complaining. So I love the fact that, and there was a couple of guys who were seriously like, yes, this is something we're looking into, or please tell me more so I can look into this. I do want to actually, you know, make my app better to better suit the needs of my users, including women who happen to be pregnant or breastfeeding or have just recently, again, not more pregnant, less pregnant, stopped being pregnant. That's not quite what I mean. I also found it interesting that, I want to say it was Krishna amongst one of her many tweets, but now I can't remember, someone throughout the suggestion that it should also have a sort of adjustable time. So rather than, oh, hey, I'm pregnant and seem to have become pregnant on this time, and so my due date is whatever, and watch me as I progress that to see if I follow that. But to be able to change that in case you have like a miscarriage, or then someone else pointed out, or in case you're having twins or triplets, because that will definitely throw it off. Your weight, what's the healthy weight at 4 months for a person having one baby is not the same as a person having twins, is not the same as a person having triplets. Those definitely can change. So you do have to have an app that can change with that. And just, again, I get why there wouldn't necessarily be a, oh, I'm pregnant feature. Also because it's hard enough just to do it for people not pregnant, and hard enough even for guys to be like, oh, guys shouldn't be the norm. It's like, I think there's probably a lot of guys who have tried a number of workout apps and not had it fit them because, you know, they don't fall into the typical of, oh, I'm this height and so my weight should be this much, etc., because my body is shaped differently or things like that. I don't know if I've mentioned it on this podcast or the Health and Wellness podcast. I really dislike the BMI because it doesn't really work for me. It constantly wants to tell me like I'm overweight or obese, even when I was like at my healthiest and clearly wasn't. But I was just like, I don't know by like what population groups you brought this data for to be like, ah, a woman of such and such a height should weigh such weight, or otherwise, you know, above this, she's overweight. Because most of the women I know who actually happen to be around my height would all be considered overweight or obese by that chart. And they're not. They're clearly not. Like, a number of them are uber healthy and they make me feel bad because I'm definitely not. But it's just like, that's not overweight or obese. I'm not sure by what like your borderline is for that you're drawing from. And especially because, you know, human bodies have changed even just from, let's go from the 30s to now, the average weight of a person, the average height of a person has changed even. So it's not just, oh, we've all gotten fatter, but we've all gotten bigger overall. It's also, so you can't just be like, oh, this thing that we drew from data when people had, you know, this in their diets will totally be the case for all, for everyone, for all time. Populations change. And individuals change. And as such, I like the fact that she called out for a pregnancy mode. And there are evidently, she got some responses of apps that do already kind of have this. So there is the HealthMate app, but also Nokia Health, which was listed in different responses as a smart scale, but also an app. But I'm not sure if the HealthMate and Nokia Health are two separate things, or if the HealthMate app goes with the Nokia smart scale. But evidently one and or both, if those are more than one thing, do have a pregnancy mode. So at least there is something. This is not something that no one else has ever thought of. But hopefully do look forward to seeing more apps in the future take into account the different the differences that can show up in the human body. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story has to do with social media news in that it was on social media and a lot of people were talking about it, but also has to do with more traditional news in that The Village Voice has announced that it's shutting down. So for those of you who don't know, The Village Voice is a New York paper, and I think it is a free paper, sort of like the free weeklies that you can find in some places. My immediate thought is the Bay, just because I remember when I was living there and I was working in San Francisco, but currently staying with friends in Berkeley, I would get 2 or 3 and just read them throughout the week as I, you know, rode the BART back and forth. There was SF Weekly and the East Bay. I want to say East Bay Express, but now I can't remember. There were a couple, and it was so great to have this free source of information of things that were happening, you know, locally. And not like, oh, hey, on a world scale, but also free, and also had a number of things. I'm sure they probably used to have, like, used the ad section more. The ad section just always felt very useless by the time I got there, because I was just like, so most of this is for, like, things that look, you know, somewhat sexual in nature, and the, like, jobs wanted ads don't seem very helpful at all as I was looking for a job. So I'm going to go back onto the internet and go on, you know, a job site. But it was interesting to see the things they covered, trying to, you know, inform their community about what was going on in their community. You also got, for some of them, most of them, I think, had astrology, but you also got, for some of them, like a crossword or a Sudoku. So that was another way to help kill time. I was like, hey, I've got this paper, and I just keep using this paper until next week, and we'll see if I manage to actually finish this before next week's paper, or if I fail, as I usually did with crossword, though. Not all the time with Sudoku. I felt very proud of myself when I could finish a Sudoku. But so The Village Voice was this for New York, and I only know about it sort of from hearsay. I've never lived in New York. I've never seen an actual in-person copy of The Village Voice. I think I remember hearing, I want to say it was in Rent. It was definitely in something set back in the day in New York, where it's just like, oh, this is considered, you know, like, a huge major part of the city and of living in the city, particularly for people who weren't necessarily wealthy. Again, I'm associating with this with Rent. I'm not even sure if it is in Rent, because it's been a while since I watched that, and I only saw the actual play version of it once, and I haven't watched the movie version of it in a number of years, but I'm just going to with Rent. So you think about the people from Rent who are not, you know, necessarily in the best of situations financially or whatever, to have this paper for free telling you about news, but also giving you a way to learn about events, to learn about resources. This was considered a very foundational part of living in New York for a certain subset of the population. And it was also considered just a decent paper and gave a lot of writers, you know, sort of their start, or sort of was a dream job for them to work at some point. You got a lot of people on social media talking about how much they wanted to work for The Voice, how excited they were when they finally got their first job with The Voice, even if that wasn't their first job in journalism, how much that meant to them. So it is kind of sad, just this is part of the whole, you know, sort of dying of journalism that it feels like we're doing right now. It had been bought 3 years ago, and it shut down the print edition of it last year, but it was still evidently, you know, sort of putting out news online, I think, and it has now announced that it will not be printing any new material whatsoever. So essentially that it has shut down for good. And a lot of people really sad about this, both for what it means for journalism and how difficult it is. It's becoming and just is now to have journalism, and how much you're seeing this throughout the world of papers that used to be these huge, great things. And sort of, you know, journalism used to be seen as this wonderful, great career of informing the masses. And now it's like, you can't get a job in journalism. And you used to have these huge newsrooms with all the staff. And now it's like a skeleton crew is keeping this paper going because that's all they can afford, because we don't pay for our news anymore. And even with things like the Village Voice, which was free, those at least relied on ads. And if the ads are like, well, you know, no one's reading your paper, so I'm going to put my ad on this website instead, they're not paying for that. There's no way to support that paper. And so it just goes away. And it's sad because for some people, that is their only source of news and information. For people who aren't in the most secure financial position or housing position or life position or what have you, to have this free paper that they could learn about what was going on in the world, but also learn about things that might possibly help them to proceed with their lives. And now they don't have that anymore. More and more, they just sort of seem to be being left behind. So you did see a lot of, I don't want to say sympathy exactly. You saw a lot of people talking about this and how sad this made them and how much of a loss this seems for them and all their wonderful fond memories and thoughts of the Village Voice. So it will be interesting to see how journalism even progresses in the next decade or so, because we're clearly, I want to say almost we've even crossed the threshold, and it's not clear that we can maintain journalism certainly the way it used to be. But if that's the case, does that not then create a whole subset of the population that doesn't have access to what we have at times considered an absolute right in this country? So who knows? We shall see. But on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.